The only raises we're getting is in the price.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The economic numbers out this morning suggest two things I'm sure you already know. Our incomes aren't going up, but prices are. In June, personal incomes had their smallest increase in more than a year. Consumer inflation climbed 0.8%, the most since February 1981. That's going to be a big concern for the Federal Reserve. The Fed meets tomorrow to make a decision about its key interest rate. More from Jeremy Hobson.
Fed watchers expect the federal funds rate to stay at 2%. Former Fed Governor Lyle Gramley, now at the Stanford Group, says any hike in rates to stave off inflation would scare the markets and hurt economic growth.
If you thought a person had a pimple on his forehead and a big dose of chemotherapy would cure it, but it might kill him, what would you do?
So he says keeping rates steady is likely. Princeton economist Alan Blinder agrees, but he says the Fed is far from hamstrung.
As we know, the Fed is doing lots of other things to try to shore up the financial system with lending facilities of all kinds. They're doing quite a lot.
If the rate does stay at 2% tomorrow, it will have been there since April. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street was all over the place last week, up 200 points one day, down 200 the next. The index is wound up in about the same place they started, though. Some losses in the early going this morning. The Dow is down 60 points to 11,266. The NASDAQ has fallen 14, and the S&P 500 has dropped 7. 1-2% losses in Asia today by the close. European shares are mixed so far. Another thing the Fed's been up to is looking at credit cards. It wants to impose some new rules on credit card companies, and today's the last day for public comment on those rules. Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
If you're like me, you receive a lot of promotional offers for credit cards. Many of them come with low introductory interest rates, but those rates could adjust higher. And for cardholders who don't pay off their balances each month, banks have a lot of discretion on how to apply payments. If you pay slightly more than the minimum, banks can apply the extra money, surprise, to the portion of the balance at the lower rates. That means a fatter balance at a higher rate. That's just one thing the new rules would change. You would also have more time to pay your bill. Moody'sEconomy.com chief economist Mark Zandi likes the Fed's proposal.
It's oftentimes a mystery to us how we get charged the interest rates that we do and the fees that we have to pay. And this is an effort to make that all clearer to us.
Lenders don't like the Fed's rules. They say they're still hurting from the subprime crisis. But Zandi says lenders should quit while they're ahead because Congress is considering more draconian legislation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Some investors at GE have been urging the company to sell NBC Universal after the Beijing Olympics. But today, GE's chief marketing officer said it's not going to happen. GE has generated $1.7 billion in revenues from the Olympics so far. That's three times what it predicted last year. NBC begins its Olympic broadcast Friday with the opening ceremonies.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Last week, the Bush administration said the next White House will inherit a $500 billion budget deficit. That would be a record. But Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says that's not even close to the actual deficit.
Well, the number the Bush people have put out is $482 billion, and people are going, or however you inhale. But the real number is significantly higher than that, the real deficit. In fact, it probably closes in on $900 billion, but it's only money, and who's counting?
Well, what would people say if it was $900 billion?
Well, they'd say, my God, it's 6% of the gross domestic product. This is the number back in the 80s. In the early Reagan years that shocked everybody and got Congress and Reagan and all of these people to put in a very large tax increase. Mm-hmm. And now we're approaching that number, and nobody seems to realize it other than me and one or two other people who are considered cranks, like Senator Conrad of North Dakota.
Okay. So explain how you come up with $900 billion versus the $482 billion.
All right. It's Washington math. So we start with 482, the stated number. We then add back $182 billion, which is the Social Security surplus, which reduces the stated deficit. But in theory, this money is being set aside for you and me when we get to be old and even crankier than we are, which makes it 664. Then the government pays interest on its own securities to itself and its own trust funds, and that's about another $100 billion. Then there's 50-something billion dollars for loans and loan guarantees. So you do all of this, and you end up with Senator Conrad's number, which is 815. But he's being way too nice and way too conservative.
So, Alan, what do you propose we do about this?
Well, I propose, for starters, that people in our profession, yours and mine, decide to use the real number instead of the stated number. People might actually listen, but right now there's no pressure on the White House, whoever happens to be in the White House, to care about this. The people from Congress, for the most part, go their own way because there's nobody really in charge of the whole big financial picture. Maybe this will change with the next administration, but I sure wouldn't want to bet on it.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. Finally this morning, talk of some corporate giants working together. British Airways says within weeks it could announce an alliance with American Airlines. And the Detroit News says GM and Ford are talking about a partnership. They would develop new engines as a way to cut costs. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.